Hello and welcome to the Mount Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, April 29th, Thankful Tuesday. I wanted to see if a couple of you would send me a text or a voice message that I might share on the podcast of the things that you are thankful for. We're thinking about a person, a place, a thing, and an attribute of God, so that maybe next Tuesday I could share some of your thoughts about thankfulness. Do you remember our memory verse for today? It's John chapter 20, verse 29, and Jesus is talking to Thomas. Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." As we move into our three scripture readings, we'll first be in the book of Mark, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And this is from the New Living Translation, where Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Then we'll go over to Mark chapter 9 and read about the Transfiguration. And because it's the 29th day of April, we'll read from Proverbs 29, verse 6. First, Mark chapter 3. Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, "Come and stand in front of everyone." Then he turned to his critics and asked, "Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or to destroy it?" But they wouldn't answer him. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. At once, the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. Jesus went out to the lake with his disciples, and a large crowd followed him. They came from all over Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and from east of the Jordan River, and even as far north as Tyre and Sidon. The news about his miracles had spread far and wide. A vast number of people came to see him. Jesus instructed his disciples to have a boat ready so the crowd would not crush him. He had healed many people that day, so all the sick people eagerly pushed forward to touch him. And whenever those possessed by evil spirits caught sight of him, the spirits would throw them to the ground in front of him, shrieking, "You are the Son of God." But Jesus sternly commanded the spirits not to reveal who he was. Remember, Mark's gospel is all about teaching us who is Jesus and then what has he come to do. And the first eight chapters are about who he is. And I mentioned to you before that oftentimes it's the demons or those who are on the outskirts of society who recognize the true nature of Jesus. But it's curious why Jesus wants to keep his identity a secret. We've talked about this before, but I want to review a couple of ideas. Perhaps it's to control the timing of his mission. Remember in the Gospel of John, Jesus will say, "My time has not yet come." Jesus doesn't want a political or a sensational type of movement. He knows he's going toward the cross. Another reason might have been because the miracles are not the fullness of the message. The people wanted to see Jesus heal. And of course, if I were someone that needed healing, I would want to seek him out as well. But Jesus also had the kingdom of God and the teachings and also the full message on display in the cross to come. Okay, I'd love to say more about that, but we need to move on to our next passage, which is Mark chapter 9, verses 1 through 13, the Transfiguration. Jesus went on to say, "I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God arrive in great power." Let me pause there. What do you think he means? I think he means they'll see me die on the cross and be raised from the dead. Okay, also they'll see him in glory at the transfiguration. Okay, unpause. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. Then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, "Rabbi, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make 3 shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He said this because he didn't really know what else to say, for they were all terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved son. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus with them. As they went back down the mountain, he told them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Again, let's pause there, which leads me back to that Mark in secret or the messianic secret, the idea that when people see Jesus risen from the dead, they will be able to have a fuller context of why he came. Unpause. So they kept it to themselves, but they often asked each other what he meant by rising from the dead. Then they asked him, "Why do the teachers of religious law insist that Elijah must return before the Messiah comes?" Jesus responded, "Elijah is indeed coming first to get everything ready. Yet, why do the scriptures say that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be treated with utter contempt? But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they choose to abuse him, just as the scriptures predicted." Our final passage is Proverbs chapter 29, verse 6. "Evil people are trapped by sin, but the righteous escape, shouting for joy." Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I encourage you to think about a person for whom you are thankful, a place where you experience God, or a place that God has given you, or a place where you grew up, a thing. I know I say it often, but it can be anything, something right before you or something this week that you noticed. For me this week, it was cold water. I drank out of a water fountain and it was lukewarm. And I thought, okay, I should be grateful for cold water. And then an attribute of God. And oftentimes we get those from the scripture. And so today, what in the scripture did we see? We saw Jesus showing compassion and healing on the Sabbath. He also was frustrated with the hardness of hearts of the people. And so we pray, Lord, that we would have pure hearts like you. We also see in Mark chapter 9, his power and the mighty nature of our God. And then in Proverbs, we're reminded that in him there is joy. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters on this thankful Tuesday. They are at the forefront of my mind. They are the people for whom I am thankful. I pray, Lord, that as we bring to mind someone that has been a gift to us, we pray your blessings upon them. We also thank you for a place. Lord, I thank you for, and put it in the blank. We also thank you for a thing. And then, Lord, for your attributes, that you are holy and mighty, and yet you are present with us, You give us an ability to see truth, and you invite us into a relationship with you. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be on that righteous path that leads to joy. Thank you again for your word and for your people. We love you, and we pray all of this in the strong name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.